session number 16433, reel 1.
Dr. Bruegel, reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born near in Bohemia.
In a town or a village?
No, in a village. And I was born about 4 miles from the Bavarian border in the Sudetenland, near Marienbad.
Which year was this?
1914.
And can you tell me what your father did for a living and something about your family background, please? Mm.
My father was a general practitioner in this village.
And had your family been settled in this area for long?
Or yes. My family came from Pilsen, where the beer comes from. Near Pilsen. And they had been, as far as I know, they've been there for 300 years. And the village where my father was a doctor was just because he was also a public health official. He was placed there, but it was very near where the family was.
What language did you speak at home?
German.
Did you also speak Czech?
No. No, there was not one person in this village who spoke Czech.
Where did you go to school?
I went into the village school. There was only one class up to 12. And I had a very happy youth in this village, very happy. But when I was just going on for 10 years, my father applied to go to become a public health doctor and general practitioner in a bigger town, which was quite far from there. It was on the other side of Dresden. It was again in the Sudetenland. But my father knew Czech. By this time, there was a Czechoslovakia created. I remember this, when it was created. And my father and the whole family moved to this place in the northwest, a very beautiful spa town. And, well, that's where I went to school, where I went to grammar school.
This is not Marienbad?
No, that is Teplitz-Schönau, it's another spa. But it's further up, it's on the other side of Dresden, again about 3 miles from the Saxonian, from the frontier to Saxony.
You said that you remember Czechoslovakia being formed. What are your memories of that?
I remember that in this village there was not one person who could speak a word of Czech. My father and my mother both could speak a bit of Czech because they came from Pilsen, which was a mixed town, mixed German and Czech. And my mother wanted to keep up her Czech language, so she engaged a help in the house who could speak Czech from this Czech inner part of Bohemia, but the people in the village wouldn't tolerate the girl because she was Czech and it wasn't good. So, but both my parents could speak Czech. Not well, but they could speak Czech. When the Czechoslovak Republic came, I remember that they showed me the first kind of currency. And it was blue and rat. And I said, oh yes, those are, that is the peasants, you know, they are the servants. They looked down very much on the Czechs. And there was a great animosity against the Czechs. Also, they didn't know them, they never met anybody. But that was the thing. And I had no idea, I couldn't speak any Czech at all. Then when I came to grammar school, we started to learn Czech. But it was not obligatory. It only became obligatory when I was in my third year.
When did you start to meet Czech people on a personal basis?
Oh, when I must have been about 13 or 14. 13.
At school?
No, socially. At school, there was nobody. It was all German, completely German. Nobody. No.
Did relations change between Czechs and Germans in your part of Czechoslovakia?
No, because there was no contact. In the village I was, there were no Czechs. In the town I was, that was 85% German. There was no Czech grammar school. It's a big town. I mean, where I went, it was a population of about 60,000, which was quite big. And there were two theaters there, established theaters, one for drama and comedy and one for opera and operetta. And all German. The Czechs didn't have a grammar school. They had to go by train to another town. The Czechs were disadvantaged.
What was the attitude of the Czechoslovak authorities towards the Germans in the Sudetenland in between the wars?
Well, they wanted to really get more Czechs into the border counties. And my father, who could speak Czech, got only this job in this town because he could speak Czech. Because the Czechs put people into the civil service into this area, on the trains and in the post office and things like that. So the Czechs didn't know very well German, so they wanted to have a doctor who could speak also Czech. He was the only one in the whole area who could speak Czech. And he couldn't speak very well Czech. He was quite frightened. He had to do an examination in Czech. And he was very frightened of it, that I remember as a child.
What about your own career? You told me about going to the grammar school.
Yeah.
What was your objective?
Well, it was a done thing for a doctor's child to go to a grammar school. But I had difficulties because I came from this village school and didn't have the same kind of background that like the children from town had. And first I went into a school like my father and brother used to go. It was very strict. It was Latin and Greek. No, Latin and Greek. It was and nothing else, and very strict. And I couldn't sit still. And I had great difficulties in this first year. Actually, I wasn't expelled, but almost expelled. My parents were told I wasn't a suitable student for there. It was a mixed school. And then I was put into a girls' grammar school, where it was more modern with French and Czech. And I liked it. And I got on. But not the first 2 or 3 years, I was not very good. I was very poor until I got up to about 15, then I got better. And I almost didn't continue my studies because they weren't quite sure whether I was really the material to go up to, you know, further education, you know, to go to sixth form, so to say. So, but then I got very well, you know, after the sixth form, I got very good, actually.
So that's at the age of 18? What happened to you then?
Yes.
What happened at 18, the age of 18?
Well, I did my... I qualified for university. By this time, my father had died. My mother got... by this time, also, there was great unemployment. That was 1933. Around us, where we lived, there was tremendous unemployment and starvation. But the people behaved very nicely. There was no kind of, like now, there were no thefts or no breaking in or anything of this kind. Also, they were really on very, very bad circumstances, much worse than they are now. And I kind of decided that it wasn't right for me to try for a job because, you know, I would take the work away from somebody. And my mother also got this kind of student's allowance from her pensions as civil servant. So I had to decide what I was going to study. I wasn't decided. And then I thought, and this 1933 was a very, very important year for us, because we were very afraid. I heard the first time, oh God, Hitler came to power in January 1933. First time I heard about Hitler was in 1930. I was in Germany with kind of school holiday, all schools all over the area. And a young man told me, you know, about Hitler and how marvelous he was and how wonderful. And another one, I just heard and listened, and I remember that there was a liberation of the Rhineland. I was in Koblenz at the time, a young girl. And, you know, we didn't take it very seriously. But then some of my classmates, they were very enthusiastic about, you know, the youth movement. They were more enthusiastic about the youth movement, about you know, the songs and the national liberation. And they, some of them really were affected by the Czechs. And also that they thought, you know, the socialism it would solve the problem of this unemployment, which we were all aware of it. Even in school, when we went to school, we had schools, our friends, some of them were very much affected by the unemployment. So it was quite understandable. And I, my friend, were very sorry that I couldn't join in. There were the friends I was best friendly with, because I had the Jewish, you know, Jewish blood, you know. So they said, you know, if you can't join in with us, it's the best thing is that you join the Zionist movement, because they're the same. They're just as national and socialist, you know, we could then kind of cooperate. But they were not at all anti-Semitic. They were just feeling very sad that I wasn't with them. But there were other girls in the school, other school friends, who were not, who didn't join in. There were only about three or four. The other ones just had interest in girls, or they were somehow. But the ones I really was friendly with, the two or three, they joined. And so 33 was a big occurrence, and we had contact with the refugees who came from Germany.
Which university did you go to?
Prague, in German university. German.
To study what?
Medicine.
So you wanted to become a GP?
No, I can't say that I wanted to become anything. I just thought there might be a war, you know, with the background of this Nazis. And I thought the most useful thing I could do was to do medicine. I would have actually preferred to be, I contemplated to be a nurse. But nursing was very much, very low standard. It wasn't like here. And so I thought if I do medicine, I still can, if there's a war, I still can be useful. And with the background of this great unemployment and so on, I never cherished any hopes that I could make money or could have a job as a doctor. Everybody was unemployed. I mean, it was just, whatever you did was useless. So, I mean, I just thought, well, that might come in useful.
Were the students at the University of Prague very political? Were they influenced by politics?
Oh, yes, very much so.
In what way?
Well, it was a big Nazi camp. Very much so. And there was a leftish wing. They were interlaced, you know, there were spies in each camp. And, that's what happened, you know.
Did you become involved yourself?
Not really. Not really. I had, funny enough, I had still quite a number of friends. I had friends in by this time, I had learned Czech. I had friends, had Czech friends. I just remember, before I could start to study medicine, my mother made one condition, that I ought to go to a domestic science college, because she thought it was absolutely necessary for a girl to know everything about domestic science. And I went to this domestic science, and that was in Czech. So there I made a number of Czech friends. So I was just very friendly with Czechs. I was very friendly I was still friendly with some of the boys and girls who were in the Nazi camp, you know, on a personal thing. And I had lots of other friends. I had also contact with the German emigration, the German political emigration. So,
did the political differences come to physical violence in Czechoslovakia?
Once during my student times, yes.
Did you see it?
Oh yes, very much so. Yes.
Can you describe what happened?
There was a. The University of Prague was created in 1435. It came to this by Charles Charles IV. And that was all in Latin. So it was neither Czech nor German for 300 years, yes, till 1800 or something. Even with Joseph II, they still had it, you know, in Latin and in German. But he was a Germanizer, you know, Joseph, Maria Theresia and so on. So afterwards, and they had insignia, you know, the scepter and the crown. And, well, it was the oldest university in Europe, in north of the Alps. And there was a fight between the German and the Czech students who should have those insignia, those valuable things. And they fought it out on the streets. And in reality, it was a fight between Czechs and Germans.
But you saw it, did you?
Oh, yes, very much. I was on the side of the Czechs at the time.
Why was that?
Well, because the Germans were almost all Nazis, they were all Heinlein. It was ridiculous because it didn't belong to anybody. But I mean, I was on the sides of the Czechs because I felt that they ought to have some of it. You know, to part it between the two of them, Carolinum, the university buildings and so on.
Were you in the fighting yourself?
Yeah, I believe so. I marched once, yeah.
Just a fist fight, or did they have weapons?
No, just a fist fight, as far as I remember. No, no weapons. I'm sure there were no weapons.
But were you injured yourself?
No.
Did you strike anybody yourself?
No. It was very peaceful. I remember it was very peaceful. It was nothing. Well, I don't know, maybe they fought, but as far as I know, there were no injured. I'm pretty sure there weren't any. Because the Czech army was very, and the police were very forceful, so they didn't dare to do anything really seriously.
When did you finish your course?
I didn't. Because of this domestic science college, I lost one term at the university. And I finished, is it 10 terms? No, I finished 9 terms. The whole curriculum was 10 terms to be inscribed at the university, and I had 9 terms. So by this time, when I was going into the 10th term, Munich had come, and the university was closed, and I had no access anymore to the last term. So that was finished. So I had 9 terms and couldn't carry on. So what happened next was that I went somewhere and looked, and there was Munich and a great upheaval in everybody's life. You lost the whole basis under your feet. I went somewhere, and an acquaintance came up to me and said, "Do you want to go to England?" And I said, "Oh yes, I would like to go to England. I always wanted to go to England." And he said, "Well, I put you on a list." Okay. And then I believe I had an interview with Quakers who asked me what I did and so on, and they asked me whether I would like to be a nurse or do something in England. And I said yes, because it was genuine, I always wanted to be a nurse. So I didn't hear anything anymore. And on the 15th of March, when Hitler marched into Prague, a permit to go to England arrived at my doorstep. You know, to work as, either to look for a job as a nurse or to work as a domestic. So I was very glad of it. Especially because I had a connection with the German political emigration. They were Social Democrats. And the leading person, he was a friend of my brother. My brother had emigrated. And he was called Max Seidewitz, who was the president of a fraction of the Social Democrats. They left for Norway, but left their books and things in our cellar. In order, they thought, well, you know, later on we ought to send them after them, or they would come back, or they would Germany would be liberated, and so on. So anyway, those big cases with books were in our cellar, and he was a very well-known man, Max Seidewitz. Max Seidewitz afterwards went into the DDR, German East, and he became president of the Social Democratic Party. He was quite a famous man. And just before I was, when I had this permit and so on, we talked, my friend said, you ought really to look what is in those cases. Because these books, you know, my mother didn't want to go anywhere, she stayed there. And she, so we went downstairs to the cellar. We didn't only find these political books, but also the leaflets against Hitler, which were always taken to Germany, to Saxony and so on. They were left in those cases. So we had to burn them in the central heating that fortunately was down there. So when we burned the last ones, almost the last ones, the maid, it was a block of flats like here, the maid came down, from the maid of another doctor who lived there, came down and saw us burning those things. So I really got a bit frightened. I thought, oh God, glad to have this permit to go to England. And but nothing happened, fortunately. And the cases then were removed by a friend who was a Czech student, and he became afterwards foreign minister for Czechoslovakia. He became quite famous as a dissident, Hayek. His name was Hayek. He was a Czech student, and he arranged that all those cases, all his library was removed to a Czech academy or something. But I really had to go then because I was frightened that this maid would say something. But I discovered later that this doctor where this maid was not a Nazi, he was an anti-Nazi. So that was all right. But I had reasons to leave as quick as possible because I thought they would come and see this connection. He was quite famous. So I left, but we did have to have a permission to leave from the Nazis.